Herzlich willkommen zu Saatkorn, deinem Podcast mit Inspiration für eine bessere Arbeitswelt.
Hello everybody, this is Saatkorn again with an English update of our little show here. And I'm super happy to have Bobby Bajaj here on this show. He's a Vice President Sales and AI and Talent Experience working for Phenom. Everybody will know Phenom, I'm sure about that one. But I'm super interested to talk with Bobby a little bit about his career experience and where's the status quo of Phenom right now and what are the big plans for this year. So yeah, welcome on the show here, Bobby. I'm super happy. I know you're a busy man, and I'm super happy to have you here. We met in Paris in October and now we're speaking.
Yeah, amazing, Jerry, and thank you very much for the opportunity. As I said, always happy to talk about my experiences, what's been good, what's been bad. So yeah, really happy to meet your audience and yourself and have this conversation. So super excited for today.
That's great. All right, then give us some background. Where did you start your career journey? You spent some time already in the overall HR ecosystem, if you want to call it like that. But Give us some information about that.
Yeah, I mean, I started probably my IT career because I diverted relatively early on in my career from pharmaceuticals into the IT industry, and it was a purpose-driven career change where I saw a lot of opportunity, not just from, you know, being able to create a great life for yourself within the industry, but it was also to do with recognizing where there was growth, there was change, and that linked to my personality quite well. So I'm always been striving for doing things slightly differently, trying to work out new ways of working. And I knew nothing about IT, so I actually had to start from the beginning again. So that's when I started my work at Gartner, just as working within the analyst community, and that really got my attention. Really started from the bottom. Understood how business worked from an IT perspective, and then that gave me the foresight to be able to understand where within the IT industry I would go. So there are a number of growth areas, security being one, but HR being another, and there was a multitude of others, right? But they were probably the two main growth areas at the time. We're talking 2010, 2011.
All right.
So quite some time ago, and that's really where my career started. So I had the option, luckily, to be able to choose the direction I wanted to take with my career. And chose HR and started off in a startup. So I moved into a company called Fairsale that was a UK-based organization. Only 9 people based in the company, then doing relatively low revenues, but working in the HCM space. So really, that formulated my idea of where I wanted to sit, how I wanted to work, because I was forced into an environment where you had to roll up your sleeves and get involved in everything, whether that be sales, marketing, product development, implementations. Everything was all encompassed within that in one environment. And really, my career grew from there.
All right. Very interesting. And now you're with Phenom for about, yeah, more or less a year or so, right?
Correct. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, Europe. So, on some days it feels like I've been there for 5 minutes, and some days it feels like I've been there for 5 years. So, just because it's so fast paced, so much is happening, so much evolution is happening within the marketplace. Every day is new. Every day there's a change. Every day there's a challenge, and every day there's a success. So really getting, you know, all things happening in individual days means it's a very exciting place to be, but super fast paced. But being in the space, you just recognize that change and evolution, and the competitive landscape as well, means that we're in the right space, right? This is an area that really can grow, that is on the cutting edge of having an impact to businesses. So yeah, super happy, super excited, and super happy about where the organization is going and the growth perspective.
Phenom is a really interesting organization. I mean, given the background where Phenom comes from, a US company at the end of the day, but you are responsible for EMEA.
Correct.
I think that's super interesting, given the different areas of data protection, the European EU Act of AI Act, and all these things. How do you see that? I mean, obviously, to make business in Europe, that's super important to have these things on the agenda. And sometimes in the past, and I'm talking now about like 10, 15 years ago, I had the feeling that especially big US companies always felt like, there's Europe, it's an interesting market. But they missed kind of the understanding that the market in itself is also quite difficult due to the language barriers, due to the different mentalities and so on. And nowadays, obviously, with AI, that might be a different topic. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I think that you're right, Jiro. Historically, when you looked at, you know, when US companies looked at Europe, it could have looked at it as, well, it's a little bit slow moving, or they tried to put their viewpoint into the European marketplace, and it is very different, right? So you're right, different language barriers. They have probably a lot more legislation, like you're saying, European AI Act, GDPR, these types of things that came into play. Recognizing that, we're at an inflection point, I believe, where when organizations are now looking to move into AI, they're now, even in the US, they're now having to think a little bit more like the Europeans because of the impact AI is having on their business. And the cost of AI can start going through the roof. So if you look at the current status of some of these AI tools and solutions, you think about them being, yeah, let's utilize them in a small way in our own personal lives. And then businesses are like, well, we need to use it from an enterprise perspective. But these costs can really be huge when enterprises are looking at taking it on that way. So now they're having to slow down and think, actually, what impact are these different things having to our business? And so therefore, I think not just in Europe, but throughout the whole world, they're having to think about things in a slightly different way. But the European market has probably always thought that way, where they've gone a little bit slower. They've really tried to find out what's going to have the most amount of impact into their business, what's going to reduce that risk. So now, the great scenario that I look at Phenom being in and the way that we're starting to work is not just talking about feature function and whether these things work for the organization, but it's really talking about the business outcome and talking out something specific that's going on within that business. If we're able to fix that one component, then AI is going to pay for itself for very small changes within their business. And that's where we're really looking at getting to. So it's not about saying this is a shiny new product and this is a great thing, where things may have been done before, even in the US, but all organizations are having to think about how they're going to implement and utilize AI in their organizations in a very different way. But the European market has always done that. And now we're very well set up for those types of conversations because we're very much focused on business outcomes. So yeah, super excited about the opportunity now because I think organizations have all now recognized that this is the route that they need to take because they're comparing different AI projects within different areas of their business, whether it be HR, whether it be sales, whether it be marketing. They're all working out which one are they going to prioritize the most. And the organizations that see the impact and can identify the impact will move the quickest.
Yeah. The whole focus on outcome and results becomes increasingly important, I think, also from the customer's perspective. I mean, in the past, perhaps you paid for a license, but now you want to pay for the results. So that changes the market drastically. When I take a look at Phenom itself, I mean, how would you describe Phenom as it is today to somebody who doesn't have any clue at all?
So in its most simplistic form, think about getting the right talent in the right place in your organization. So every organization has a need for talent, whether that be external or internal, moving them around into the right position within the organization, because at the end of the day, organizations need talent to be able to move ahead. And we know that there are new solutions and tools, and we talk about AI and how they can potentially replace people. And again, thinking in the AI sense, where organizations probably, when they looked at AI in its first iteration, were like, well, AI can replace 50% of our jobs or 80% of our jobs. Well, actually, it's not about replacing those jobs. It's making sure that the jobs are done better. And you still need people to make sure that they're done better. And it's the movement of those people. So it's about finding the right talent, utilizing AI to find that talent. It's about nurturing that talent. It's about moving that talent into the right places as companies evolve, and using workflow, automation, and AI to be able to do that, and having a platform that takes the employee on their journey from hire to retire. And being able to interact with their current ecosystems, right? So we're not looking at wanting to have to replace everything, although we can in certain gamuts, but really it's about making sure that that journey is done as well as possible, reducing the operational cost and creating more operational efficiencies, but also adding benefits to the top line. So enabling the revenue within that organization, enabling them to move into new marketplaces as an organization changes. All of those things are now center and foremost. But essentially, it's getting the right talent in the right place from wherever that may come, internal or external.
Phenom markets itself as a Phenom Applied AI Talent Intelligence platform. And I really have to say, a few years back, obviously AI was also part of the story, but nowadays it's integral. I mean, it's really the core of what you're doing, right?
Yeah. It's being very specific. So when we're talking about being applied AI, we're talking about specific scenarios that are happening within an organization, and using AI where it's needed and not just saying AI is here. So, you know, we built out 24 different agents for 24 different scenarios, but we have the grounding and understanding all of the different workflows, all the different technologies that are necessary for AI to work. So, you know, everything starts off potentially with a career site, how you interact with an organization. So making sure that that is AI enabled, making sure it changes based on what a potential candidate is doing when they're looking at you as an organization, but also you as an organization being at the forefront and showing yourself off the best. So, you know, an interesting scenario that I probably like to share is, there are organizations that we work with that have many different solutions that they have within the talent space. But the core element is, if you're able to gather as many different profiles as possible, you're not having to go out to market to find those different profiles. What we're trying to get to is, you already have the profiles of the people that you require in your system already. So, and I know this is an extreme example, but we're working with an organization in Australia, and that organization, from being live with Phenom, it's a retail organization, but if you look at the profiles that they need, they already have 80% of the population required to fill in those roles. So where they were taking 30 days to fill a role, they're actually saying it's 1 day to fill a role. It's actually zero, because they're being proactive. When they know a role is necessary to be filled, they can proactively go out to those people and fill those roles directly. So now you're getting into a scenario where you're utilizing AI to link people with roles based on skill sets without humans needing to be involved in certain circumstances, in certain scenarios. And that is an extreme example. But if you think about every single role being slightly different, you know, you may have intake agents. So we have an intake agent where another organization had to, and it's they do this cyclically every single year, but they interview approximately 1,000 people over a 6.5 week period to fulfill their roles where they need to have them filled at a particular moment in time in the year. They now do that completely over a weekend. So they use an intake agent to update the post to for people to apply. The intake agent now can be booked, and because it's an agent, it can do the interviewing on the weekend, overnight. So now they're able to do those 1,000 interviews over a weekend and have those people ready to go into position the next week rather than waiting 6.5 weeks. It's an amazing occurrence, and we're changing how organizations work. We're not only making them operationally efficient, but we're allowing them to get the right talent in at the right time.
Mm-hmm. It's a productivity machine at the end of the day. And as far as I see it, it's always related to data. So you got to make sure that you have the right data in place to be able to really use AI in that way. And
correct.
A few weeks back, I was thinking about the vulnerability of tech products in terms of the old discussion about AI versus SaaS, software as a service.
Yeah.
And at least from my perspective, it always depends how far are you away with what you're doing from the system of records. So where is really the data lying in an organization? And if you're really super close to this origin, you can do all kind of things with AI. That's at least how I see it.
Correct. And just to add to that, Jiro, and it's good that you bring that up, because you need the foundational layers to be able to build out AI. And AI, as they work with organizations, so obviously we're working with thousands of organizations on a daily basis, and we have data relating to those, that obviously anonymized, but we understand industry, we understand geography, we understand specific roles, and we understand the skills associated to those roles. So we have the data already, and we also understand every organization is slightly different. So if we give you a starting point from an 80% perspective, with all of those different pieces of data and those data sets relating to the job profiles, that means that you've got a great starting point to be able to work from. And you, as you evolve and add in your own data, it means that you become stronger as an organization. And that evolves over time as well as they change. So it's very much an iterative process, but it's very much a process that only comes over time. Just as another example, if you think about Tesla and how Tesla works in this marketplace. So when they first came out to market, they were looking at really how they, obviously looking at battery and battery power as well, but they were looking at how they'd become self-drive cars. That was probably one of the early stages. And when they first came out with the proof of concept, they had done something like 3 million miles in the car or something like that, and they were able to come out with a proof of concept. But before they could actually have something that was running, they had to wait a number of years and had to have billions of miles run in the cars to be able to get to the point where they're actually able to get a car on the road. We're in exactly the same scenario. Luckily, we've been looking at this for the last 10 years. So we have the data, we have the data sets, we're able to now be in a position where we can go out to market. But going to market in a fresh scenario where you're having to build out the data yourself means that you're going to come across many different problems when you're utilizing AI. So that's why having a little bit of a head start has helped us out, Jiro.
That's interesting. It made me think a little bit from the outside looking in. Would you define Phenom to be an AI native company these days, or would you still say Phenom falls into the category of software as a service? How do you see yourself these days?
So we would say AI native, because we've been doing it for so long. Obviously, SaaS has been there from a number of years ago. I remember when SaaS first kicked off. And you fit an organization into a bracket, but we've always done AI in the background with regards to understanding and utilizing that data to make our solution that much better. And now we're putting naming mechanisms on there and putting applied AI on top of that. But essentially we've always been AI native because we've been evolving and learning as a solution. And especially now, I think, again, we talked about from an outcomes perspective, rather than talking about a feature function scenario, we're really talking about outcomes for organizations. And when we're now talking about, you know, if you run a project and it doesn't work well, it actually has a revenue impact. So we're not just talking about operational efficiency, we're talking about both operational efficiency, we're talking about revenue growth, security of revenue, market share, competitive intelligence. All these things come into play that really determine the success of these organizations now, because everybody is running along this path and everybody is challenging for that talent and everybody wants to have better profitability. We're here to help different organizations as they are in different scenarios themselves, but we look to really have a deep understanding of what those goals are for those organizations and then cater to those.
That's very interesting. What's the current status quo? If you would describe now, we're talking mid-June, so the half of the year is already over. When you look to the end of this year, what kind of challenges are lying ahead of you?
So whether it be the end of this year, you know, whether we be through half of the year or we're looking at the end of the year, I think the challenge remains the same, which is knowledge share with organizations. So there's an educational piece that we have to have with organizations that they sometimes need to think differently, and they've got to evolve the way of their thinking. If you want to take on AI, they're now finding pushback from whether it be, you know, their investors, their shareholders. Every penny these organizations spend, they have to look at how they're going to get that return on investment. And HR, I have to admit, has been a space that hasn't always had to look at things in that way. I think in other areas, when you look at sales, when you look at marketing, they have always looked at an end product being an outcome. Whereas HR have some, it's unfortunate, but this is a reality where HR has been looked at a cost rather than an investment. You have to have HR. You have to be able to manage people. But actually, what impact are those people having on that business? If you didn't have the people, how would they? And actually coming up with some specific numbers has been difficult for HR. They've had to go out to other areas of the business. Now they're having to speak to, you know, business units within the organization to say, if we don't do this, what impact will it have to your business? And they're hearing directly from their coworkers or, you know, the managing directors within their businesses to say, yeah, if you don't have this done, this is going to be the impact. So education, knowledge share, and basically sometimes shocking those companies about how much we already know about them. We're in a scenario where we use AI in our daily lives, but we also use AI to understand about businesses. And there's a lot of information out there. And we go now into organizations with a very different mindset. We're not trying to push a product. What we're trying to do is push an outcome. And it's a much better conversation to have. It does. It's a slow as fast environment. So it's not about as I said, sometimes you try to push a solution. That's not going to get you where you need to be at the end. Where you need to be at the end is, once you've agreed on an outcome, we can then start working together as a team to be able to achieve it. And I think it changes the environment to being from a vendor to very much a trusted partner.
Absolutely. How I see it is, can we talk about sales really, or is it more a consultant's approach to make people aware of things and have discussions and really co-create a solution with the best outcomes? Obviously, this takes a little longer. And obviously, from your perspective, as you know, all the things that technology actually is able to do, sometimes it might be a little bit frustrating, but I think that's the way to go. I mean, a few weeks back or months back, we had this Anthropic study showing what is theoretically replaceable, what kind of professional function, and actually what's practically replaced, which was almost nothing. And at the end of the day, it's all a big change management transformation topic. That's how I look at it. I mean, and if you take a perspective from this angle, HR could and should play a major role in it, because it's about transformation. You have to make people aware of things they might be afraid of, but that, I mean, we are all going to work with AI. There's no discussion about that. The question is, how long does it take? And how do you convince your workforce to really do it? And to me, it's super interesting. In Germany, we have a few examples already where HR, CHROs have also gotten the responsibility for IT. For instance, Britta Seeger at Mercedes-Benz is such an example. Or, and that's even more often the case, we connect HR with AI transformation, which is kind of logical because it's at the end of the day change management. How do you see that?
Yeah, so again, Jiro, I don't want to beat on about the same drum, but recognizing outcomes from an organization, one of those outcomes is them recognizing that they need to take on AI themselves, as in how they work, how they get their products out to market and so on and so forth, or how they evolve their products. They need to be able to utilize that themselves. So they need their people to be ready in that space. And that's where they need to find new talent or adapt the talent that they've got within their business to be able to cater for that change. And organization, as always, organizations that are more adaptable to change and change the quickest become the most successful. And it's the same with people, right? So the people that are the most adaptable and open to change are the ones that they're usually going to be the most successful. And we're coming to this inflection point within the whole of this environment. And I don't know how long it's going to keep on evolving and changing, but it is a constant change right now, where you have to think differently, and you almost have to think differently almost every single day and question things every single day. And by doing that, being inquisitive means that you're going to be in an environment where you're going to enable success as much as possible, or you'll be able to see where there are blockers within your way that are stopping you from being successful, and then you work out a way of getting rid of those. And like you said, HR is becoming more empowered, and we've recognized that the collaboration that's necessary between HR, IT, operations is needing to be there all together. There are some studies and there are some people within, that are talking within the space that, you know, HR is dead, IT is going to take over HR. I'm not one of those believers, but what I do recognize is it's all going to be completely interactive between all of those different departments.
I agree.
And they've sat away from each other far too long. This is causing them to have to do it, because they realize if we don't, we're going to be making the wrong decisions. And I think some of them have already gone down the path of they've made decisions, or IT have made decisions on HR's behalf, or HR's made decisions on IT's behalf, and those projects have not been successful. And that's caused them to really lag behind and then having to start again. So what's the impact of going through an implementation for a year, trying to make it work for another year, having the contract for 3 years, and then having to start all over again? It's massive. So they're really recognizing they have to work together, make sure they get those decisions right, and make sure that they're all inclusive in the decisions they're making. So when we talked about us being not in sales anymore, very much consultative, it is very much, it's viewed as being slower, but actually slow is fast in this space. So once you go slowly, understand everything, decisions can be made very, very quickly.
Yeah, that's great. I like that. In terms of the ICP, I mean, there might be now several people listening and saying, oh, this sounds really interesting, but I'm pretty sure that Phenom is not open for every company of any size. So could you give us some information? What kind of customer profile is really interesting for Phenom?
Yeah, so you're right, it's not every single size. Our target focus is usually organizations over, you know, over 5,000 or 8,000 employees, but we do work with so if I looked at a larger size organizations that we work with, the likes of DHL or Serco, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people within their organization. And that is almost I'm not saying a no-brainer, but they're scenarios where it's very easy to see how we can have an effect on high volume hiring and all those types of things and getting people through the door quicker. It's a very easy scenario to look at. But we also have customers that, you know, are in the 2,000 to 5,000 bracket that are quite complex. So the more complexity there is within an organization, the more necessity is to look at how each of those different roles are fulfilled and how much impact each of those roles have. So we may be talking to an organization where each role is, I don't know, worth 10 million euros per role, in comparison to an organization where they have 100,000 people, but each of those roles is having 50,000 euro impact. So again, it's horses for courses, but we just need to have an understanding of those businesses. But ideally, it's looking at the businesses that have already gone on a bit of an AI journey. So they have a bit of an understanding of what's been going on historically, but then they have complexity and size. That's usually our sweet spot.
Last topic for this conversation. I could go on forever, but time is running out, unfortunately. Last week, communicated that Phenom and ServiceNow have a collaboration going on right now. To me, that was also really interesting because I thought, wow, this is really, from a strategic point of view, very interesting, because until then, I thought that ServiceNow probably builds their own agents, but now, at least to me, it seems like they're using Phenom for these things, right?
Yeah. Yes. And it's great that you pointed that out. Recognizing where ServiceNow work in this space. They're very much focused on employees once they're inside an organization. And workflowing, obviously they started life off in the ITSM space and then grew into the employee workflows business. And it's all about orchestration for that employee once they're in the organization. It doesn't do any of the transactional pieces, but it does the orchestration, which makes sense. Again, we are looking at things from prior to them starting within that organization. So how do you actually get the right candidates in once they're from an external perspective? And it's joining those dots up. So it's just a continuation. So when we're talking about intake agents or any type of agent, whether it be language barriers or whatever it might be that we're having a discussion around, we're very much looking at how we get the right candidates into the organization. Once they're in the organization, there's a streamlined handoff into ServiceNow, so it orchestrates them through their journey for the rest of their career. So it's very much a collaboration. Yes. That enables a one-stop shop and the least amount of friction for an employee or a candidate to become an employee to then carry on with the rest of their journey. So we believe it's going to be a fantastic collaboration as we move forward.
Makes sense. Very, very, very last question, because you mentioned it, the AI agents that we have now. And if you think about how AI agents might look and work in like 1 or 2 years from now, do you see an end of the user interface?
So again, there's always going to be a handoff between having a personal human at the end or an AI agent. All I can say is it's an evolution. I don't know, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know which direction it will take, but it is very much on a user basis. So, you know, we're getting feedback from our customers that we're actually finding surprising ourselves. So there are some very regulated industries or with difficult, more difficult, highly skilled jobs that that have been trialed to have AI agents do the screening for them. And we've had feedback that more than 80% of those candidates prefer using the agent to be speaking to a human. So that is surprising to us, right? It means that there's more value derived from it. But if it went the other way, I wouldn't have been surprised either. So recognizing that scenario has occurred and they're preferred because they can interact with it any time of day, there is no bias involved. They don't believe that they believe they can be more honest when they're talking to an agent. You know, all these things have been validated off the back of companies utilizing our solution. But where it goes, how far it goes, is all dependent on where the market decides it wants to take us and how humans want to react with it. So I don't think there's an ending. I think it's going to be a constant evolution. We're going to be constantly learning. But I also believe that this is a very exciting time. And I don't believe that jobs are going to be taken away. I believe that we're just going to become more productive. And as within the Industrial Revolution, more people will find better things that things that they're better at to be able to add to society.
Well, that's a nice last sentence for our little discussion here. Bobby, thank you so much for taking the time here to discuss these point of views with Saatkorn. It was a great pleasure. Hope to have you on the show in the future, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Can I just say one more thing, Jiro?
I just wanted to
highlight, and it is a little bit of a plug, but listen, there's a lot of information out there in the marketplace, but we are running an event in November, 4th and 5th of November in Paris. It's called I Am Phenom Europe. We ran one in Germany last year, very, very successful. But we have a whole host of people speaking at the event. So you won't just hear from me, but you'll hear from the likes of PwC, Capgemini, our customers like UCB, Borealis, MasterCard, Serco, DHL, just to know what their journeys have been like and what is happening in reality. And that's really what we want to share. We're very open as an organization. We want to make sure that people make the right decisions as they go through the journey. And it may be Phenom, it may be something else, but we just want to give the information out there. So please do come along. Jiro, I'll pass you over a link that you can put onto this podcast
for people to have a look.
Yeah, brilliant. Sure. Yeah. But I Am Phenom Europe, 4th and 5th of November in Paris.
Perfect. Au revoir and see you in Paris.
Merci beaucoup.
So, das war diese Saatkorn-Podcast-Episode. Ich hoffe, dir hat Spaß gemacht und sie hat dir gefallen. Bevor ich jetzt hier rausgehe, noch ein kleiner Tipp für dich. Abonniere doch kostenlos meinen Saatkorn-Newsletter. Dann gibt es jeden Sonntag alle Podcasts, alle News, alle Artikel, alle Verlosungen, alles, was ich auf Saatkorn so mache, gratis in dein Mail-Postfach und du hast bequem alles an einem Ort und verpasst nichts mehr. Das Ganze kostet, wie gesagt, nichts. Den Link zum Abo gibt's in den Shownotes. Würde mich freuen, wenn wir uns da wieder treffen. Ganz lieben Dank und bis bald. Ciao.